Now, Mainstream Renewables are carrying out, or hoping to carry out, exploratory works off the coast of Kerry and Clare to look into the feasibility of developing a multi-million euro offshore wind farm. Could provide lots of jobs, lots of servicing jobs in Kerry, as well as other benefits, of course, by adding to the renewable output and increasing the amount of renewable electricity we can generate for our electricity grid for the future. They currently have an application in for an exploratory licence to carry out survey work off the coast. And I spoke to Jane Hennessy, stakeholder engagement and development manager with Mainstream Renewables, to talk about the investigations planned for the coast of Kerry and Clare for developing the floating offshore wind farm. How long will it take? What jobs will be created? And what does Kerry need to do to get ready to take advantage of the natural resource?
Yes, thanks, Gerry. I'm delighted to be here today talking to you about the potential of the offshore wind development that we're hoping to have off the coast of North Kerry. It's 20 kilometres off the coast, and we feel it will bring value added to the coastal communities, and it will also significantly strengthen the access to clean and renewable energies and go some way to fulfilling the climate action targets that we have set by the government for 2030. We're in the early stages of the project, and we're in the process of conducting development activities. We hope to get a foreshore license soon, and that will enable us to do deep sea surveys to look at the condition of the seabed and understand the local natural habitats.
Okay, so from there, the size of the project, you have a wind farm investigation area which straddles the coastline from Doonbeg down as far as Tralee and even down close to Ballyferrit, or in terms of the investigation area, I suppose.
Yeah, the investigation is quite large, and it goes from North Kerry up to a bit of Doonbeg, like you said. It's between 20 and 40 kilometres out to sea, so it really is quite far out. And the reason for that is the technology we think we'll be able to use is floating offshore wind. Right. And that doesn't need the shallow waters close to the coast. It can go much farther out because the turbines can float on the water. So you're really far away from a lot of human activities and a lot of natural activities as well.
Okay, so you're out of the way of fishermen and out of the way of the, like, will it be visible from the coastline at that distance?
At that distance, you know, until we actually design the location of the wind farm, I couldn't say with 100%, but really 20 kilometres plus is so far out that I wouldn't expect it to be intrusively visible.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's another, I suppose, cable route investigation area you've applied for as well. And is that talk about how the power will be transferred on land into our grid?
Yes, yeah, you're right. The cable route that we are investigating is a very large area, but the reality is it will just be a very narrow cable route to connect into the electricity grid. And we have to do a number of surveys to make sure that we go onto the land in a way that doesn't interfere with the beaches and the rocky shores, and we have to pick the best available route and also one that is close to a connection grid. Okay. So there's definitely a lot of studies have to be carried out for that one.
And how deep is the sea at that rate? Is it like 80 plus metres in terms of the floating turbines where they may be?
Yeah, it would be quite deep. Anything more than 60 to 80 metres would really require a floating technology. And you can get a lot more than that 40 kilometres off the coast. So again, the exact details, we're in the early stages, and it needs to be investigated further before we have the exact details on that.
Okay, and Jane, from Mainstream Renewables' point of view, what are you talking about in terms of the benefits, or maybe the employment or the activity, both I suppose in the construction phase, but then once they've been developed in the maintenance phase, that this might be or represent for Clare and for Kerry?
I think the opportunity for offshore wind and the scale of mainstream projects offers immense opportunities. At this stage, the feasibility stage, we were looking for survey boats, professional planning advice, and it can be quite slow to develop, but when it gets going, it will be fast-paced, and the scale is so large that you can provide sustainable employment and supply chain opportunities in the local area. For the operation and maintenance phase of a project, which will go on for 25 years, we'll be needing about 33 million euros worth of contracts, and that would involve on the port side, you need activities for maintaining the turbines, like painters and fitters and welders, and then to operate the turbine, you'll need electricity grid specialists, engineers, maritime experts, survey, ecology survey people. So the actual employment opportunities are very diverse. And we would think that there'd be an opportunity, you know, for intergenerational employment in coastal communities.
Yeah. OK. Now, in terms of the development of the project, you've applied for foreshore license. You get the permit then to investigate, survey. Following on from that, if you're successful, then you'd go for more surveying, progress design. Then and kind of this underlines, I suppose, where things are in terms of I suppose the timelines for this, Jane, is that you'll have to interact then with the yet to be established Marine Regulatory Authority, which is this new organisation going to be set up by the government to facilitate all this and hopefully speed up the process. If you get through that, then you apply for planning permission. That's kind of the stages that you're at in terms of getting to eventually construct and put them in place, if all goes well.
Yes, if all goes well, there are a number of steps exactly as you've outlined, Jerry, and we will keep people informed, and there will be lots of opportunity to participate in consultations. But ultimately, our ambition is to have power to reach the government's targets of 2030. So what that means to us is that we have first power, we have electricity being produced by wind turbines off the coast of North Kerry and being delivered into the grid in 2030. So to do that, we would hope to have all of our consents and planning and really being starting construction in 2027.
And what level at the moment, and what level will it get to, the engagement with local communities about all this?
So at the moment, it's early stages, but we have reached out to the fishing community, who is obviously a major stakeholder in this. And we have employed a fisheries liaison officer, employed a company to liaise with us, and the fishery stakeholders. But we would expect to ramp up our engagement with the supply chain, the local businesses, the educational facilities in the area. We do have a supply chain contact form if anybody wants to reach out to us on our website, Southwest Offshore Wind. And we obviously will be visiting the area and having public events. So if anybody has any curiosity about offshore wind and the technology, or any concerns about the environmental conditions and how we plan to look after that, they can contact us and we can meet them in person and go through it. Like I say, it is the early feasibility stages, so people have a chance to feed in and influence the design on the project.
Yeah. Jane, what should the local authorities, what should Kerry County Council be doing? Because you're probably not the only company that's going to be looking off the west coast of Ireland and looking for offshore wind. What should we be doing to get the county ready from an infrastructure point of view or a development point of view to facilitate these types of projects, which the government have pointed that this is going to be a large part of our powering or energy in the future?
Yeah. I think, you know, the council is very experienced and you have a lot of wind farm experience in the county. Yeah. And that can be adapted for offshore wind as well. The concerns that we would have relate to local supply chain and local skills, because there will be a demand for them around Ireland. And if Kerry has definitely has the opportunity to feed into this new industry, which will be immense. So I think if Kerry focuses on the local business opportunities that are there, like survey vessels, even crew vessels, ports, supports in the activities that will be needed at ports, but also the need for skills and education on the skill sides of things. And I know that Kerry has a lot of experience on that, so it could be adapted to take advantage of this new industry.
Yeah, and indeed the Kerry College Education Training Board has developed the first wind turbine maintenance technician course apprenticeship in Ireland, so they've already started down that road of, I suppose, training people locally for the jobs in this area.
Yeah, and that is perfect. And I think they even have a wind turbine on the site. So, you know, they're definitely on a way in advance, I think, of other counties. So it's a definite positive for Kerry.
Yeah, certainly is. Jane, the grid has to be gotten ready for this. And this is another kind of job, I suppose, for the state, for EirGrid, for the Commission for the Regulation of Utilities as well, the CRU, to get it ready, or interconnectivity, I should say, of our grid is very important. So all of that, you would hope, would be in place, you know, over the next 8 years to be ready for this surge in power, I suppose, that we hope to generate.
The grid is definitely something that is essential to get the electricity benefits from offshore wind. I think that we can't let it slow us down, and that we have to look at other possibilities, like you mentioned, of interconnectors, storage opportunities, because this industry is going to happen anyway, and we need to take advantage and make sure Ireland gets the benefits of it. We have one of the best wind resources in the whole of Europe. And
Why is that? I was going to ask that question. It was said to me in the past that, you know, Ireland is the Saudi Arabia of wind if you compare it to oil. Why are we better placed? Is it because of our geographical location? We're at the western edge of Europe facing the Atlantic Ocean?
That's it. And if you look at the wind maps of Europe, and you can see that the west coast from Donegal all the way to the south has very good wind speeds and wind potential. So it is our geographic location that's determining that. If you look to the east coast, there is kind of a channel down the Celtic Sea that has good wind as well. So yes, we benefit from this natural resource, which is going to be developed anyway. So it's better for Ireland and our coastal communities if we're able to take advantage of this immense industry. And so I think that the grid is essential, and investment in the grid is essential, but also we need alternatives to it, like interconnectors and storage and alternative sources too.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, Jane, look, it's interesting. It's one that's worth watching, and we'll hear more about it, no doubt, as the weeks and months go by. And one final point, I'd imagine we're going through the stages here and talking about timelines, and it may change, but there have been many calls for, I suppose, a speeding up of the planning system, whether permission is agreed or denied, that there isn't such a long wait time in between the various stages. Would you hope that that's improved, and maybe the marine regulatory body being put into being now will help that process?
Without a doubt, I think there has been huge policy developments in the last 6 months for offshore wind, and we would hope that that progress that has been made keeps on going at this pace, and that deadlines are met in terms of setting up MARA, and that the applications are dealt with speedily for the development of projects and for the local communities that are in the adjacent areas. It's better that applications are dealt with in a timely fashion rather than it hanging on for several years in this limbo. So I think that the huge progress that has been made, it's great to see it. And policy environment is the most important thing to develop offshore winds. Mainstream has a lot of experience in many different countries, from South America, South Africa, Africa and over in Asia. And we've seen that every country has its constraints and its struggles, but it eventually it wins out because you need the energy independence and security, and it will happen. So we would just encourage the government to continue the way it's going and for MARA to be set up in a timely manner and to process applications.